I was talking with one of our brothers recently, John Stacy. John and Denise Stacy are some of our newer members here, newer to us, and you may remember, and I remind you to be praying for their son-in-law, Jerry Sorrell, who's had a lot of trouble, was in ICU for a number of days. He's at rehab now, but still has a ways to go, so that's this family and John Stacy. So he's been in the hospital this week with heart problems, but he's home now recovering. And talking with him back in about the mid-90s, he told me about when he had a stroke. And he said this stroke left him in a hospital bed, unable to move at all. He could not squeeze a hand. He could not blink his eyes. They would have to take care of his eyes for him. And he's in this state. And he remembers the doctor coming in and talking to Denise and telling her he's going to be a vegetable. And, of course, he's on, you know, they're keeping him alive, so to speak. They're feeding him on a feeding tube. And it's that moment where you have to make a decision. And so John tells me he was in his mind and he could hear everything. He could not communicate. And he remembers people coming in and trying to console Denise and tell her, you know, that this is just how it has to be, and just that type situation, right? For 4 days, he couldn't move, couldn't blink, could not communicate in any way. And then finally he was able to squeeze her hand. In his brain, the stroke killed, he lost about a third of his brain, but in that time, isn't our Creator amazing how He made us? His brain starts using new parts to do what the old part did. And he's able to squeeze her hand. He progresses from there. He had to learn to walk all over again, talk all over again, all those things, full recovery. And I tell you all that just to ask you the question, do you ever feel weak? Do you ever feel weak? Like, you need help. We should all understand what it feels like to be weak. Maybe it's physically weak. Maybe your physical health is not what it used to be, not what you want it to be, and you need help from people physically. Maybe it's, and I'm in the midst of that right now. I have a shoulder that works, but it hurts, and the doctor says I need surgery, right? MRI, all that good stuff. And so it hurts now. And I've talked to some people who've had this surgery from a slap tear, and they tell me, preacher, it's about to hurt a lot worse after that surgery. And so I'm facing this time, and a lot of y'all know what this is like when you have surgery and then you're down and you can't do for yourself. Weak. Maybe financially weak, where there's not enough money coming in to pay your bills. Things have happened. Maybe laid off. Financially weak. Or maybe emotionally weak. Life is too much. The anxiety I feel, the stress I feel is too much. And I need help. I feel weak. Maybe it's spiritually weak. And the message today is God cares for the weak. And we start in Job 26:2, a great scripture. Job says, how you have helped him who has no power. How you have saved the arm that has no strength. And the fact is, God has always been a God who cared about weak people. People in weakness. God has always cared about the vulnerable. He's always cared about the poor. He's always cared about the downtrodden. Our God has always cared. And that's a message for us when we are down, when we are weak. God cares for you. And then God also, we fall in line. We do the same. We do as our Heavenly Father does. So we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. And we talked last week about being givers. We are to be, and really the message from last week was, it is more blessed to give than to receive, meaning if you want to have joy in your life, figure out how to give. And I don't just mean money. I'm not even thinking of money. I'm saying do for someone else. Selflessness was last week's lesson. And today we're going to go a step deeper and think about, we're going to focus on those who have need and us helping them, thinking of those that we can help who are in a state of weakness. Acts 20, 35 says, in all things, Jesus said, I've shown you that by working hard, Paul said this, working hard in this way, we must help the weak. It's what we do. It's what we do. We help the weak. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to warn those who do not work. So here's a great verse. This is from the New Century Version. And what it tells us is different people need something different. Now, the next part talks about encourage the people who are afraid. But let's stop for just a second. Warn those who do not work. When we talk about the poor, sometimes we're talking about people who, there's this old statement, poor people sure have poor ways. And I would modify that sometimes. So I would add sometimes poor people have poor ways. It's true. Sometimes I've found myself in difficult places financially, and some of that's our fault. But the Bible does say, and we have scripture in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. What that means is we are to help people who need help. And sometimes what a person needs is to be encouraged to work. Sometimes they're able. And what they need is encouragement to do what they're able to do, to give them a hand up as opposed to a hand out. And that's this point. So warn those who do not work. They still need help, but they don't need you to just hand them something. They need you to help them do what they can do. Help them to work. Warn them that it's important they do what they can do. Encourage the people who are afraid. Sometimes a person is afraid of what's coming. They don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes they're weak and they need help. So when a person's weak, you help them. That's what they need. They need help. And we do that. And then with everyone, this one's hard for some of us. If you're in the position where people need you a lot, it's hard to be patient. Sometimes you kind of get to your wits' end and you're thinking, listen, people, just take care of it yourself. I'm tired. I can't do everything. When you feel like people oftentimes need you. And so along with this scripture, we have a great one from Isaiah. Isaiah 35:3 says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With recompense of God, he will come and save you. Sometimes people need someone to come alongside them and say, be strong. It's going to be okay. And you may remember a time when someone did that for you. I remember a time when I needed that. And this has been years ago, but Phyllis Dotson came up to me, and in great faith that she has, she said, Elliot, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It means a lot. It means a lot sometimes when that's what you need. You need someone to come and encourage you. And church, I tell you, the reason we meet on Wednesday nights, one of the reasons, we created Wednesday nights, Sunday nights. Those are our man-made traditions. And they're good. And Wednesday nights, we get together. Sunday nights in small groups, we get together. And part of what happens is some of us come and we need help. Every Wednesday night, we pray for a list. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. However many people. They need something right now. And it wasn't too long ago. Karen Cotting had a mammogram that came back concerning, and that's a concern that is. And at the same time, Hannah's having trouble with her digestive system, and we have in the same family. There's two big concerns, and you feel the most. Sometimes we feel the most weak when we have something out of our control. Health wise, maybe one of the worst. And on those nights. on Wednesday nights, there's always someone, usually multiple people, that they need a hug, church. They need someone to come to them and say, like Phyllis did, it's going to be all right. We need that in small groups. If you're in a small group right now, if you're blessed by being in a small group, raise your hand real quick. Let me just see some hands. Thank you. When you're in a small group, it's very common almost every time somebody has something that's heavy. It's a burden. And the rest of the group rallies around them and they lift them up. That's what we do. We help the weak. Leviticus 19. Let's look at this. This is, we have a God who's been doing this for a long time. He's been teaching his people for a long time to think about others. Think about those who have less than you. And even back in this is the Israelite nation. God is giving them laws how to be as a people. And they were, once they settled in the promised land, they were able to cultivate crops. And Leviticus 19:9 says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip the vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard." Now, first of all, business practice, that's not good. That's not how you do good business, is it? I mean, a business, think of a small business. What's the job? The goal is to make money. The goal is we're going to either perform a service and charge for it, or we're going to make a product and charge for it. We're going to do something and exchange goods or services for money. That's business. And to leave some and to not be thorough, right, in your profit margin. This is not great, I don't think, in business school. This would get high marks. But in God's school, this is the way we do it. This is the way we do it. Why? You leave them for the poor, for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. Now, in business, we're not talking about plowing and cultivating and harvesting a field. So we're different circumstances. But what it means is, don't get all you can get and just hang on to it and think about you. The point is, there's some people who need some help. And always have room to help some people who need help. How about this? Read on, verse 33, down later in the chapter. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, a stranger would be vulnerable. They're out of there. They're not in there around their people. They're not with their people. Or maybe they are, but they're a small group within another nation, and they are sojourning. And it says, when they're in your land, you shall do him no wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you. You shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And so God is talking to a people that sometimes they're not going to feel like helping the weak. These people are sojourning. Who knows what ways that the Israelites would justify not worrying about them, but God says, you worry about them. Why? Because you used to be that. And there's other reasons, but that's one. And sometimes, so I speak to some of you may be caretakers for someone in your home. Some of you may be in a position where a lot of people come to you for help. Or people continually, you're the strong one in a group. Sometimes the strong ones get tired. Maybe you're an older sibling and you continually have to help your younger sibling, brothers, sisters. Maybe you're a more mature Christian. Sometimes you get tired of the weakness of immature Christians. Whatever the case, remember, you once were weak, and that helps us. All right, Psalm 41, 1 through 3 is a great psalm about helping others. It starts out and says, "Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him." He's talking about God delivering the poor. "The Lord protects him, keeps him alive. He's called blessed in the land. Do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to full health." I know I don't look it because I'm not very much Cherokee, but I am legally 1/128, which is not a lot. And I'm told that I'm double that because at a time someone claimed half when they were really full. But the story of my family having Cherokee blood, and we have cards and benefits, which is a blessing. The story is, years ago, there were four Spencer brothers. And this, so R.W. and my mom, siblings, this goes up through their lineage. Four Spencer brothers, and they were traveling. And in their travel, in you know, the frontier days and before statehood, times were difficult and dangerous, and they made an agreement with each other before they went on this journey that if one of them were to get sick and ill and could not travel, that if they came, if it comes to that, we will have to keep going to complete the journey. If someone were going to die, we would have to press on. And so this was their agreement. Well, one of them was bit by a rattlesnake. So he did fall ill from that and looked like he was going to die, so they did leave him, as was their agreement. And Cherokee Indians found him and nursed him back to health, and he married one of their daughters, and on down through generations, that's where I come from. That's why there's Indian. If it weren't for that group of people, those Cherokee Native American Indians, if it weren't for them taking in one who was not with them, I wouldn't be here. And I would imagine if you go back far enough in your history and every family, there's a story somewhere where someone, right, had mercy and took pity and helped out your family member and maybe preserved your lineage to the point that you're here now. And that comes from Almighty God. He teaches us that. We are made in His image. Isn't that right? So there's something in us that says, help this one. Yeah. It's what we do. Zechariah, we have, I want to show you three scriptures here. And this is kind of a gathering of, there are a lot of these throughout your Bible where God talks about how He cares for the widow. He cares for the fatherless. This is the orphans. For the sojourner. For the poor. And God over and over talks about how He cares for these. Why the widow? Why the fatherless? And the answer is because they are vulnerable. The sojourner is vulnerable. The poor is vulnerable. And in many societies and in most of the history of mankind, what happens to the vulnerable? The strong take advantage of them. That's the survival of the fittest. It happens in the animal kingdom. It happens in the human kingdom. Always has. It's why now we live in we're struggling in our American society with roles of male and female, because men have historically, many, not all, but historically, many men have used their strength to get what they wanted instead of to protect as God made us. But God has always cared about the vulnerable, always cared about the widows, always cared about the orphans. And this is a reminder to us. It's a reminder, if you feel vulnerable or weak, God cares about you. And it's a reminder for those of us who feel strong or are strong, if we ignore those in need, how does God feel about us? We cannot ignore those in need. Yesterday was an event that honored our older members. It was terrific. Ruth Ann, Karen Watkins, and all their helpers, all your minions, all your workers, right? It was fantastic. And it's good that we stop at times and honor people. Bless them. Encourage them. It's a good time of year to do that. We have a whole ministry, our benevolence ministry. We have a deacon, Brian Benton, and a whole ministry that's set up to help members of this church family and those outside who have a need. They need help with something. And I'll give a quick plug for this ministry of benevolence. Brian Benton is excellent in working. He's excellent in doing. He's a doer, and we have the right guy and the right job. He's not a recruiter, right? He's not a recruiter, church. So we sent out a mass email a few days ago saying we could use some help. Got good help yesterday, and it was a blessing. And so I just remind you, church, once in a while you may hear a kind of an APB on benevolence, and if you're able to help, great. That request may just come out one time, but it's we need to help those who have a need. It honors God. All right. Is there anything more weak than a newborn child? So I'm blessed to be a first-time grandpa. I'm digging it. I like it. I want to stay with it. I feel like you know, my glasses and I'm starting to look the part. But more and more. But when you hold a newborn or an infant, when you hold a young baby, you're holding something that's helpless. Helpless. Let's look at this. Luke 1:35, when Jesus, this is a story of Jesus coming to earth. Luke 1:35. So God sends an angel to Mary. The angel, he has this conversation with Mary, and the message is, you are going to be the mother of God's Son who has come to save mankind. And of course, they thought he would be an earthly king. And he was in the line of David, the kingdom of David. That's a spiritual kingdom. So the angel's talking to Mary. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God. So Mary, not only are you... Now, Mary is a virgin. She's engaged, is what we would call it, but she is still pure, has not, her and Joseph have not been intimate, and God says, you're going to have a baby, and of course she says, well, I'm pretty sure that's not how it works, but God said, it will this time, and this, because we're in the realm of what's kind of, God, this is not how things work. Well, neither is Elizabeth being 6 months pregnant. She's in her older years. She was barren, but guess what? She has a six-month-old baby she's carrying in her womb, 6 months pregnant. Nothing will be impossible for God. Well, Mary hears this. Now, Elizabeth's her cousin, is what we would say. And so Mary gets up. She, in haste, goes to see Elizabeth. And verse 40 says, she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. This is the mother of John the Baptist. And she goes on, verse 43, to say, why is this granted that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she's speaking, she's speaking about things that she may not fully understand. But in this record, we see that the first person to rejoice about the news of Jesus was an unborn child, 6 month pregnant, John the Baptist. The first one to rejoice about a Savior coming. And we, so I amend my statement. The baby, an infant, is not the most vulnerable in our world. The most vulnerable is the unborn child. It's the unborn child. And so this is a problem, church. It's a problem in our nation, and we need to be praying about it. And the word, what I'm talking about, is abortion. And so it's a difficult topic. I don't know why. I'm not speaking politics here, church. We're speaking morality, and we're speaking God's. This is God's business, and God is the creator of life. And we have to remember that. Did you know that all the scientists in all the labs with all the money for research cannot create one living thing? They can't do it. They cannot take non-living stuff and make one thing come to life. Cannot make life. But our God is the creator of life. you could say, you know, there's kind of different thoughts on this, and you could argue, and it makes sense to me that if you can find living cells and from a fertilized egg, that that's the beginning of life. And that makes sense. Then there is the idea of a heartbeat rule. A baby's heartbeat is said to start roughly 22 days from conception, is what I'm told. If I'm stopping a beating heart, church, I'm stopping a life. Okay? So it's a clear topic. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I want to leave you with a couple quick thoughts on this, though. One is, I know a couple ladies who've had abortions, and good women. Most women, I believe, regret that decision. But what I want to say is, that is something that we come to the foot of Jesus and the foot of the cross, and we say, God, forgive me. And forgiveness extends to that decision, just like forgiveness extends to any sin in your life that you're ashamed of. So I want the message to be clear. If any have had an abortion, or you know of someone that has, the message from God is very clear. God is forgiving God, and He desires that. He draws us to that, okay, to repent and forgive. And all of us bear the scars from sin we've chosen that we're ashamed of, don't we? All of us do. So in that sense, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Now, secondly, sometimes a young lady and a young man, typically young, will become pregnant out of wedlock. And that's not God's plan. That's not so. Sin has obviously been committed, and the same answer is again repentance and forgiveness. But I want to say to the girl that carries that baby and has that baby in a difficult circumstance, she needs help. And the boy needs help. The young father needs help. They need help, we've had them here, and we've had them come, and I've encouraged them to come before you and say to you, church family, I want God's forgiveness, I want your forgiveness or your help, and I stand before you as one who wants to walk right with God. It's one of the most beautiful things we ever witness. Amen. Okay? And I applaud a young person. So I just remind you, if you haven't put this together, oftentimes the one who does right and does not have an abortion, they've got a tough road, but it's a road that honors God, and we need to help them. And that word, none of us escape the scars and the consequences of Satan. So just a couple quick thoughts on that topic. But church, be praying. God, our God, cares about the weak. He cares about the vulnerable. And may we also care. We're going to sing an encouragement song, a song of encouragement, A Beautiful Life. It's a good title. The words don't say A Beautiful Life, but the words talk about helping. Helping others who are in need. And that's what we do. And you may be here this morning and wish that we would stop and lift up a prayer for you. Maybe we'd love to do that. Maybe there's one here that's never had their sins washed away. And don't put that off any longer. Let us help you with that. If there's something we can do, please come while we stand and sing.
And girl.